Welcome into the Gym Closet for another episode of the Gym Closet Podcast. We are here. If you hear some music in the background today, we are recording a little bit earlier than normal. So we have a training session going on as we speak. So you'll hear some weights clanging, rattling, and a little bit of music because we usually get the atmosphere, the energy pumping here at Crave Gym. So I'm here, as always, with @Jordan.Hildreth. What's up, buddy?
What's happening?
Just another day in paradise.
Another day in paradise.
As always.
How was this weekend?
It was awesome.
Oregon, yeah?
It was awesome, yeah. So I was in Oregon, and we'll kind of go over that for food for thought a little bit. But yeah, the Oregon trip was awesome. It is gorgeous. We went jeeping. You know, we went up. Amber's folks have a bunch of land up in the mountains, which is just gorgeous. And so we, you know, we got some relaxed time. We got, you know, when you like wake up in the mountains in Oregon and you like walk outside and like it, so at night it gets like, it got like 45 to 50 degrees at night, which is so nice. And it's dry.
Yeah.
And so it's not like humid. And then it got up to like 95 during the day. And so then it, you know, it works its way down. But when we walk outside and it's like 60 degrees, drinking coffee, like just looking at the mountains,
it was
just gorgeous. And then her dad's got an awesome Jeep that I'm going to buy that from him. Yes.
I saw that thing and I was like, God damn, where did they get that?
Yeah. And it's not like, I mean, it's super cool as far as what they did. It was, I guess he bought it from like a Jeep quote-unquote family.
Yeah,
so they all had Jeeps, so like they do a bunch of cool stuff to it. So I mean, it's lifted, it's got the side rails that you need, it's got the front bumper that you need, all like the little custom cool shit that you can do.
Yeah.
And that family, I guess, owned a powder coating company.
Okay.
And so then they like custom powder coated a bunch of stuff on it too, which is sweet. So for the record, I will be buying that in a couple of years from them, and we will be rocking with the top down and no doors for sure. So, but no, it was an awesome trip. Also joining us today, as always, @ZachDowns1. What's up, buddy?
Not too much. Again, like you said, another day in paradise. A little shorter day this Thursday, so get to bed.
Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. God, been a long week already.
2 days down.
No, but yes, we're doing a podcast a little earlier today, earlier than normal. So,
get in and out today.
Get a little in and out.
There we go. You got plans to go to, for a nice dinner date
tonight?
Yeah,
we're going to dinner here around 7, and then after that she wants me to go to Climb Iowa and climb with her and go climbing. And I've never been climbing, so...
Oh, that's awesome. You'll have to report that next week.
Yeah, so I didn't... because I didn't want to tweak with anything, you know, pre-show and mess with any of that. And she's like, well, show's done. So I was like, oh, all right, well, I got to go now.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it'll be fun, though.
We'll definitely talk about that coming up next episode. But this episode, we're excited to interview Steve Seibert. He is a firefighter. He is a novice champion strongman. He is a second place to Jordan. In the championship. We go over some awesome information. This interview is really good. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. We go into a lot of some of the stuff. He's a West Des Moines volunteer firefighter, so we go into some of the stuff that's different between him and between West Des Moines and Austin. So he listened to the podcast last week, so we go on to a bunch of cool information with the fire department, a bunch of cool information with his training, a bunch of cool information on strongman. So let's get right into that, and without further ado, here's Steve. Today we are joined by Steve Seibert, novice strongman champion, runner-up in Crave's Strength Championship. What else you got going on?
That's about it.
That's it. Two things.
I was going to say, yep.
Two things.
I try not to push myself too hard.
Right. That's just stay under the radar. Yeah. That's awesome.
Strong stuff.
Yep. So we had talked. We gave Steve a shout out in the past with his strongman. So you just did your first strongman competition. Talk about that a little bit. What was preparation like, and how was the actual competition?
Preparation was great. I was looking for something different to motivate me in the gym, and I guess I found the strongman competition, and Crave helped me through it all, set me up with a great program, some nutritional work, and took off. It really worked well for me, and then the competition went well, I guess. It was fun, and I won.
Yeah, I won. So that's good.
But it's probably the only one I'm going to do, just because of kind of the structure of the competition. It's 5 minutes of competing over an eight-hour day, and that's just, it's not really designed for me.
Not really your forte. What was, so how many competitions did they do in that, or how many different events?
Five events.
There were just five events in the entire day.
None of the events took me more than a minute to participate in.
So in 5 minutes?
At 10 o'clock in the morning and ended at 6 o'clock at night.
So 5 minutes for 8 hours of hanging out.
Got to meet a lot of cool people. My family came down and watched. We had a good time doing it. I mean, it was a blast.
But you can't drink beer during it either. Or you could, I suppose.
I think there were people who were. So.
Really? Still competing, drinking beer? That's awesome. So obviously, guys, we're talking this season about... first responders, and we're really trying to celebrate some of our first responders. Steve is also a volunteer firefighter with the West Des Moines Fire Station. How long have you been doing that?
10 years next month.
Damn, so a long time.
Yep.
We talked last week with Nick Gansey, who is a I don't know if you listened at all, but we talked to him. He's a firefighter in Austin, Texas. He's been around 10 years. He's full time. What would be the biggest difference here in West Des Moines? He went over a lot of, how their station works, and I'm sure it's very similar. But with being part time, what's the biggest difference in West Des Moines between part time and the full time guys?
Yep, I listened to the podcast last week and
awesome.
Talk about it. The structure is very much the same in West Des Moines as it is in Austin. On the full time career side, we have guys that come in every morning, work all day. Very similar structures of the day, except for maybe the time they change out. It sounded like in Austin, they changed out at an odd time.
Yeah.
Here we're in the mornings. But similar structure, you come in and check your gear, and you have your whole day planned out for you, what you're really going to do, depending on kind of how your calls go. On the part-time side, it's completely different, because I don't go to work at the fire station until 6 p.m. after I've already been at my full-time job, generally 8 hours that day, unless it's a weekend. And I come in and
grind it.
We start at 6 p.m., kind of like they started when they first came in, Every day you have to come in, you have to check out all the equipment, your air packs. I drive the truck usually out of the station on Railroad here in West Des Moines. And so I check over the whole truck, make sure there's nothing leaking, all the fluids are good, there's water in the truck, the pump runs.
Making sure you're getting A to B no matter
all
what.
All the equipment that's on it. And then we kind of go from there in the evening. I generally work with the same crew, although it varies a little bit more on the part-time side than it does on the full-time side. Real tight group of guys. We come in, we check everything out, and then we just kind of do our training. And then when our training's done, we eat supper together usually and go about whatever else we have to do for the night.
So with hours, what makes a part-time versus a full-time? Is it hours? Are you... how many hours do you usually work at the station?
I usually work 24 hours a week, two nights a week.
Okay.
The career guys work. It's a swing here in West Des Moines. It's a rotation of every other day, and then you get a block period of time off.
Okay.
So I think you work 4 or 8 days of every other day, and then you get 4 or 5 days off, and then you're back. Your shift's back on.
Okay. So you're basically working, four 12s, 48 hours in those 8 days, and then you get a block. Is that right? Do they work 12s?
No, usually? they work 24s.
24,
so,
okay. Yep,
they'll work.
So they work four 24s and then a block off?
No, they work every other 24. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 8 days they work
for 8 days, yep.
24s.
Eight or six. I'm not sure what the structure is here.
Sure. So then they get how long is that block, do you know? Is it the same all the time, or does it change?
It's the same all the time. Yep.
Okay,
it's
cool.
The same block, either 6 or 8, and then the same amount of days off, and then your shift's back on.
Okay, cool.
And
so that's a grind, too.
I was going to say, I worked for a short time as a career firefighter in Sioux City, and they were just like the guys in Austin. We were every third day, 24 on, 48 off.
Okay, cool. Which do you think people like? What do you think the people like the most in those schedules?
Well, I'll tell you what, the guys in West Des Moines really like their schedule just because of the ability to get time off, take vacation, things like that. It's always more fun when you get 4 days off instead
with
of
with their big blocks.
Two.
Yep. Sure, sure.
I know my time in Sioux City, 2 days off kind of wore on you. It was a very busy city, and I was on a very busy company, and we ran calls nonstop for 24 hours, and then you know, your first day off, you spent it sleeping, trying to make up for
sure
the time you lost, and you got a day off, and you were right back at work.
Back at it. So that was a grind. So what got you into being a firefighter? What kind of sparked that passion for you?
You know, I don't even really know what it was. My family has just always kind of been called to public service. My grandfather was a firefighter. I have a cousin in West Des Moines here who's a police officer. I've got a whole bunch of other cousins that are all police officers around the Midwest. It's just something my family's been drawn to, and when I moved to West Des Moines, I was looking for a way to get involved in the community, and they were hiring at the fire department, so it just worked out.
Awesome. So what's your so you work a full-time job with the city as well, right?
I work full-time for Waterworks.
For Waterworks, okay, yep. Cool. So you do full-time job there, part-time with there. When do you sleep? Never?
Hit and miss.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I used to handle it a lot better a couple years ago than I do now as I get a little bit older.
Getting old?
I have a night at the fire station that's super busy. I'm probably skipping the gym the next day.
Sure, sure.
So
with that, you know, being a fitness podcast, what about your, you know, training here at Crave has helped you in that respect as far as your firefighting goes, as far as your full-time career goes? You know, what has changed physically since you've been a member, and you've been a member with us, I mean, almost since the beginning, I think, so running on 4 years here. But tell us a little bit about how your training correlates into, you know, your career and how well you do with your stuff in your career.
Yeah, I've always been a big guy, fairly strong guy, and there's no doubt when I started at Crave, I was big. If you could see a picture of me then and a picture of me now, you know, you'd notice the difference in my shape. Although maybe I don't weigh that much difference, the shape that I'm in is considerably different.
Right. I'd still describe you as a big guy, but I mean, you're
right.
A big ball of muscle,
yeah,
now.
I used to be a big ball rubber tire around the middle.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, and I didn't have any cardio conditioning when I started at Crave. I was probably lucky if I could have ran all the way around the building. And just through time and work and staying with different programs, and probably the biggest thing, as much as I hate to say it, it's been the nutrition that I've got through Crave has helped me on my journey to where I'm at now.
Sure. So a lot of Crave athletes are, you know, ex-athletes. I would say our main demographic, you know, is going to be your 25 to 35 year old ex-athlete, whether that's college sports or high school sports or shit, even you know, going into our you know, little league sports. That's just kind of our and I'm in that demographic as well, but that's just kind of our generation. We all grew up on a team, and that's kind of why we made Crave the way that we did. But what is, I know you played football, tell us a little bit about your background in athletics and kind of where your athletic career started.
Sure. I'm a big multi-sport athlete. If I can play it, I want to go out and do it. I love to play just about anything. I'm not very good at some of it. I can't hit a ball with a baseball bat or a golf club, so that kind of kind of sucks. But besides that, I feel like I'm pretty athletic for the most part. I grew up playing a bunch of sports. Sports were big in my family. I went to South Dakota, played football at a couple different places, moved to West Des Moines, and somehow got hooked up with a semi-pro team, played semi-pro football here for a while, and had a great time doing it, but, you know, I've always been a team player. That's another thing with the fire department. I'm getting married in a couple months. A guy that I didn't know 10 years ago is going to be the best man in my wedding. We met
That's
in
awesome.
Fire Academy, and we've just been best friends ever since. You know, it's a bond with athletes, guys that you play sports with, similar to the fire service, maybe a little bit different with the fire service just because everything that's on the line sometimes. With
sure.
you got to go in the things with people you know and people you trust and
right.
people you know you can work with.
Sure.
Fire service is just like sports. There's every personality you can find. out there, and you just have to find a way to work things out with them.
Right, and that's what the one thing I love probably most about sports is, like, especially in the world that we're in today, is the locker room. You have literally every demographic, every background, every class, every, you know, people from every walk of life that now have to bond together to have, you know, to go and obtain a certain goal, you know, and that's obviously the same thing with like you said, with firefighting. And, you know, sports has really taught me when all this chaos in the world was going on and everybody's divided, it was awesome to go into a locker room and everybody's on every different end out in the real world. But when you come into the locker room now, it's just that you have to make it work. You have to get along with people. And even if you don't get along with people outside the locker room, when you're on the field or when you're in the locker room, you have to figure out a way to do it. And that's what I've found a lot of athletes. So do you think that skill has helped you, you know, be a good teammate in the fire service?
Absolutely. It's incredible. I would guess if you put the guys that I played football with and the guys that I work in the fire service with, they'd tell you the same things about me. I kind of fill the same role in both spots. I don't necessarily want to be the guy that steps up and takes charge and does things, but I generally am, and when I am, I'm just a complete a-hole about it
because sure.
I'm a competitor and I always want to be the best when right. I'm out there, you know.
But I think that's the type of people that get shit done, you know.
It is. It's definitely the people who get shit done, but, you know, as that guy, I can tell you, some people respond to it real well, and Some people
fold a little bit.
Some people you're just not going to be friends with because of it.
Right, right. And there's always, you know, those competitors that butt heads and have that kind of inner feud regardless. You know?
Absolutely.
But that's another thing that you have to really learn, and I learned from athletics. You know, I'm sure you took a lot of it from athletics, is just being able to get along with them to accomplish a certain goal and move on from there. Because I'm sure that same guy in the fire department, when you... you know, when you have to call his name in a intense situation, or, you know, whatever the situation may be, you can trust that he's going to be where he needs to be and do his thing.
Yep, and I feel the same way about it in the fire service as I did when I played football. You know, the guys that I'm friends with outside of football and I get along with real well, and actually pretty much everybody, as long as I get along with you real well, if people heard our conversations, I would assume they'd think we were mortal enemies, because we'd be calling each other names and swearing and cussing at each other.
Oh, sure.
And just giving people shit like that is just kind of the way that a camaraderie that you don't have anyplace else. And oddly enough, in the fire service, it's the same way. Not
sure.
Necessarily at my other job at Waterworks, but at the fire service, just because of
might not get away with
the
it at
experiences
Waterworks.
You go through, you know.
Sure.
Just works like that.
Definitely. So with, you know, in our last podcast with Nick, we talked about kind of the grunt work and who, you know, fresh out of the academy, who does that, you know, cleaning toilets and all that kind of stuff. Do you have kind of a hierarchy here as well? And is there, you know, some of the grunt work that rookies do that, you know, you can kind of retire from when you're...
Yep. We call them boots here. Like he was talking about, just kind of the jargon throughout the country is different for different things.
Sure.
Boots, rookies, probationary firefighters, they call them probies. I've had the experience of being one 3 times now. My first time here in West Des Moines, my time in Sioux City, and then when I got to come back to West Des Moines.
Sure.
So it's been grueling for me to go through that, but it's the same hierarchy. As you start out and all the grunt work is yours. When there's something to be done that nobody else wants to do, it's what you get.
Sure.
You just kind of slowly get to move up from there, and over time you can really move up to be wherever you want, as long as you want to put the effort in to make it there.
Sure. Just like anything, and I know we've talked a lot on this podcast about, you know, putting in effort and you're going to get out what you put in and all that kind of stuff, you know. But going back to, like, your actual training days, and you said the Fire Academy, tell us a little bit, we didn't dive in too much about the Fire Academy in the last one, tell us a little bit about the Fire Academy and, you know, what it took, what it was like. Was there, you know, physical tests, and kind of dive into the Academy itself?
Sure. The Fire Academy here in West Des Moines covers a bunch of cities that send people in to go through, take their state level certifications here in Iowa. It's both physically demanding and a lot of book work. You get a book at the beginning of it. You cover a couple chapters a night. you're expected to come in the two nights later and be able to test over that information. I'm sure most people think there's not a lot of science into firefighting, but there's actually a ton. And the farther and farther you get into the fire service, the more math and science there is to it. So,
sure.
There's a lot on the book end of it. There is plenty of physically demanding stuff. Things that I think people struggle with more than anything is probably the physical part of it. We have a physical assessment test we do here in West Des Moines, and it burns out a large group of people just because they're unable to complete it in the allotted amount of time.
Sure. So what does that test look like?
It's called the CPAT test, and you start on a stair stepper, and you're on this stair stepper for 3 minutes and 20 seconds with 75 pounds of weight on
you. I was going to say geared up.
Yep, 50-pound vest and 25-pound worth of shoulder weight sitting on top of you. I'll tell you, that's where the big guys fail, is that you can't make it off that stair stepper. You can't make it through the rest of the test.
So that's just grit. I mean, you're not... Yep. That's just, you're not necessarily failing at any point unless you're failing mentally. I mean, you have to.
Yes.
I'm not sure there's going to be a person that just, in that amount of time, just completely fails physically.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yep.
You need to come to Crave.
The hardest thing about the stair stepper is that you don't get to control the pace. It's a preset rhythm that the steps come at you.
Okay.
And if you break that pace, then you're pretty much SOL because you're going off the
back.
Yeah, you only get 3 steps to recover. And if you're out of that rhythm, you can't use the handrails in that amount of time. I mean, you can't really touch anything, so you're just there on the stair mill. And that's the first of that. So once you make it off that, you come down, you walk so far, and then you grab a hose and you have to pull a hose so far, kneel down, pull it a little bit farther, and then you have to carry some tools. It's been a long time since I've done it. But
sure.
Like I said, the real physically demanding parts of it, at least, are the stair stepper. You have to carry 175 or drag a 175-pound dummy, I think 40 feet down and 40 feet back. And then the very, very last event after you've done everything is a push-pull simulator, and there's stacks of weight on top of this push-pull simulator, and you have to push it up and pull it down so many times. And I've seen more people just run out of time trying to physically finish at that last set of push-pulls that you have to do than anything else in the rest of the test.
That's super interesting. So our challenge, this we have a striking season, so it's a pretty... our championship is pretty equal as far as our four elements of training go, whether, you know, between endurance, agility, strength, and sex in here just fucking shit up. Alright, get out of here, Zach. Alright. You know what would be cool, and I just now thought of this, is we should kind of correlate some of the physical challenges that, you know, are in the CPAP and the, is it CPAP?
CPAT.
PAT.
P-A-T.
Okay. So the CPAT, and then, you know, talking to some police officers coming up, you know, their physical challenges and stuff. We might look into implementing some of those into the championship.
I think the cops
physical
challenges are way easier than the firefighters.
Yeah. That's a call out. So
you got to run like a mile in 10 minutes.
Really? Okay, good. We're good to go then there. So you've been in the championship. You got second place to Jordan, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, killed the strength stuff, but that we had some endurance stuff that he probably etched you out a little bit on. But compare those two. Compare the challenge to like the CPAT, the physical part of it.
Not really the same at all.
No.
Again, you know, over the challenge here, we competed over an hour and a half. The CPAT, you max out at 10 minutes and 20 seconds. So once you hit that allotment of time, you're just done.
You
lose. The way the CPAT works now, it didn't when I did it, but now there's a whole structure. It's a nationalized test. And they come in, you watch a video, and then every department has to give you practice times over like 8 weeks, I think it is, to come in and run the course, do the, I guess you call them events or obstacles.
Sure.
And practice a little bit. And you get to kind of pace yourself out doing that, and you can kind of know where you're at.
Most of the time. Just to get a feel for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that you'd be able, we'd be able to grab some of that like, practice stuff at all? And
I don't
get
know.
Some
you get into liability stuff then.
With
I'll ask.
Yeah,
but
I was gonna say. See,
we'll
if we
make
can't
any guarantees.
Right, and if not, we might have to find some similar type weights if we're dragging heavy bags or something to simulate those dummies or something like that to simulate some of that stuff. So keep that in mind, guys. If we're still we got the championship at the end of August, that we're still planning some things. So that might be a part of it if you're qualifying to compete in that. Tell me, you know, what's kind of the horizon look like? You said you're getting married here in a couple months.
Yep.
Awesome. Yep. Damn. Okay, Lindsay, don't seem so excited about that.
We're both excited about it. We've been together for going on 10 years also.
So you're already,
so, yeah,
like common law type of marriage?
Yeah, 6 or 7. We've got everything together. We're just having a big party.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's all you need, you know, is a big party. What else is on the horizon for you? Is there any moves in the fire department that you're looking to make? Any moves with your full-time job? Anything going on?
No, I don't want to move anywhere in the fire department because any place I move from here requires a lot more responsibility for other people, and I'm not into that.
Sure,
so,
more of management roles at that point? Okay.
And waterworks, sure. They'll give me a pay raise. I'll take it.
Right? There you go. Always.
Yeah.
Always. That's
but,
awesome.
Other than that, no. Just looking for the next probably sporting event that I'm going to do or get
cool.
myself
next
into.
Challenge.
Yep.
Awesome. So no, probably no more strongman?
You know, I really like training for the strongman, but I don't like competing in
the,
it. So
the competition
I don't
know. Day?
I'd have a real hard time convincing myself to train for it if I wasn't going to compete.
We were at the Iowa Expo here in Zach, and we had Dustin and some of the guys doing their bodybuilding, and they had the Iowa Strongman. I can't remember what the actual name of the sponsorship was, but it was kind of the Iowa overall strongman or whatever. And yeah, it was. So the bodybuilding, we had, like, you have a morning show, you have some time, and then you have the late show if it's not running simultaneously. And so, like, we got the morning show, and we were halfway done with, and then we kind of started at the same time, we were halfway done with the night show, and the strongmen were still going on different events. And so, you know, it was a crazy-ass long time. Powerlifting was in and done. I mean, they were done within, you know, the first morning, and they were done by noon, and that strongman just kept on going.
I don't know how to do the strongman better either, whether you try to restructure it and do different classes at different times, but it's a whole lot of setup for one event.
Sure.
It takes a long time to get everything
ready.
You have
to run everybody through that same
and
event.
Yeah, so you run everybody through it, and then you're stuck setting up for the next one, and you know, the guys that are even setting up are big dudes because you got to move a ton of weight
just to get
set up for it.
Ready for
so.
People that are moving a ton of weight.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But yeah, that's that was really my only experience, you know, is training you and doing some more research on that kind of stuff. And what was the most challenging thing about training for that as far as getting ready for it?
Finding the equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of strong guys around. I've made friends with some of these guys now and Facebook friends, and some of them travel all over the Midwest and compete. A couple were in Kansas City a couple weeks ago. I think there's a big one in the Quad Cities coming up.
Okay. Yeah, we were in Davenport for that one.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
maybe they just had it then. And, you know, I think, I got these 5 events down. I found all this equipment. Well, when you want to go do the next one, the only event that's the same is the Atlas Stones.
One of them.
Yeah. Through everything, there's always Atlas Stones. Or something very similar to that, but then everything else, you're just at a total loss, whether it's going to be a deadlift or a farmer carry kind of concept.
Sure.
So you can train all you want, but when you get there,
you have to basically train for 25 events with all
right.
different types of equipment.
Yep.
And then when, you know, pull it out of a hat, basically, when you get there.
The one in Kansas City, they were holding an Africa stone, I think is what they called it. And it's a...
Is it shaped like Africa?
Yep, it's a stone that's shaped like Africa. And you pick it up, and you just hold it for as long as you can. And
damn.
One of the guys that I competed with here in Des Moines did it, and I think he won the event. But when he was done with it, he was just bleeding. The stone had cut into him so bad.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Yeah, I don't know. Sign me up. That sounds like a good time. But, yeah, I mean, it's awesome, though, that, you know, and you, like a lot of our athletes, are looking for that next, you know, whether it's an obstacle race, whether, you know, we have athletes doing marathons, we have strongmen like we were talking about, we have bodybuilders, you know, all of those different things, triathlons, we have a lot of people doing swimming and stuff, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Ragbri is just starting, so we have a lot of bikers that are doing Ragbri right now, you know, and just being a part of Crave is definitely, you know, always trying to feed that competitive you know, atmosphere that you're looking for, and that personality that is always trying to find something that they want to compete in. What else are you playing? Volleyball.
I am playing volleyball, but back to that other part, you know, the range of athletes that Crave has is one of the things that when I'm here pushes me. I know that I'm generally one of the strongest guys in the room. That's not always where I'm trying to push myself the hardest, but sometimes when we go out and we run and those fast guys are running, I want to try to run that fast because, you know, I want to push myself to be at their more towards their level than I am.
Definitely.
And that helps me, you know. Guys like Jordan that are out there doing the cardio and things, I want to push myself to try to be at that level.
Right.
Running next to him makes me want to push myself harder.
Makes me want to puke.
Sometimes that too.
He's a runner, man. But he just did a try too. So
yeah, I play volleyball, but I play in like the intermediate league, and we're mostly there.
That's the beer league, right?
D leagues, or they have like a beginner's league that's really the D league, but we treat intermediate like the D league.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've had teams in the past that were, you know, sponsored teams, and those are always fun. I played on a couple teams myself. You know, it's one of those things that it's you know, any of those city league. Do you play softball at all? Have you ever played softball?
No.
Oh, you said you
can't hit a ball.
Can't hit a ball with a bat.
No.
That's all right. It's overrated.
I don't think I can play slow pitch.
Really? We might have to just go out back and throw some batting practice.
You know, as one of the few college athletes from the small school that I'm from in Northwest Iowa, I am the only athlete from that high school that's ever been cut from a sport, and I've been cut from two, baseball and golf.
So you went out for baseball and golf?
For baseball as a freshman, and the baseball coach was the football coach, and he told me we were wasting both of our time going to the weight room on the first day of practice.
That's awesome.
So then when I was a senior, I decided I didn't want to run track. I golf instead, and I went to the golf team, and the golf coach told me I was wasting his time. Go do something else.
Go into the weight room.
So, yep.
So there's a place for you. It just happens to be in the weight room.
It's just not on a baseball diamond or a golf course.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I love talking to you. We get to talk, you know, on usually a weekly basis, so that's awesome. We loved having you on. Is there anything that you wanted to kind of close out with?
I don't think so. I love being here. I love the gym. I love the atmosphere of the gym. I love the friends that I've made here, you know, over the time that I've been here. You know, we've seen a lot of people come and go. A lot of people I still stay in touch with all the time.
Definitely.
The friends that I have here, the first thing you do when you come into Crave is you got to talk to everybody who's here and catch up on the people you haven't seen and be around, and I just love the family atmosphere of it. So.
Awesome, yeah, we love having you. You know, it just what is it? Cheers, where everybody knows your name.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're the gym version of Cheers. So, well, I appreciate you coming on. You know, a lot of good information, both on you know, we want to concentrate on the firefighters aspect, but then we love talking about, you know, your strongman adventure through the champion. You know, if we'll definitely have to have you back on when we're going over some more stuff that pertains to that. But we really appreciate you coming on and talking about everything you got going on.
Yep, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks.
And we are back. Thank you, Steve. Great interview. Thank you for going over all that information and diving a little bit deeper into your training and your life and what you got going on. We always appreciate having you in and having an athlete that has been with us so long. He's been with us, like he said, about 4 years now. So it's awesome to hear about him and dive into his stuff a little bit more. But let's get into some segments. Let's start off with some athlete shout-outs. So we had a post today on our social media. Go ahead and follow us at Crave Gym if you're not already. But we gave a big shout-out to a bunch of athletes that were doing some stuff over the last month. A lot of them we've already given a shout-out to on the podcast. But a new one, Mitch Oslin, competed in an obstacle race. Do you know what which one it was?
I don't.
It was an
something Gladiator or the other. Or
yeah,
something.
Either Gladiator or Warrior. I can't remember, yeah. But it was one of those. And he killed it as always. He said he's super sore and he's paying for it right now. But but he killed it. So we wanted to give Mitch a shout out. We have a also a unique shout out this week that Jordan's going to go over.
Yeah. So. Little bit of an athlete shout out, not in the athletics realm,
but talent realm.
Talent realm for sure. Yeah. Is Dave Montgomery, and so he comes to the gym. I've actually never said a word to the guy, so I kind of went to this thing like expecting most local talent. I'm not gonna say I had my hopes really low, but I did, and then I went there, dude, and they're fucking incredible.
That's what I've heard.
I couldn't believe how good they are from top to bottom.
From a band,
yes, a local band,
a local band,
just shredding the fucking
pie in the sky.
Beautiful voices, both of their singers, guys on the drum, guy on the guitar. I think Dave's the bassist. Phenomenal. I was blown the fuck
away. I've heard awesome things about his band, and I have not had a chance to go yet, but I'm excited to go.
Impressed. I hate live music for local bands because it almost inevitably all suck.
Oh, yeah.
You're just there to be nice. That was not what I just witnessed. It was incredible.
That's awesome. Yeah, so huge shout out to Dave and his band, Pie in the Sky. We had a whole bunch of athletes go and you know, rock out with them.
There were a lot of us there. The Smiths, your parents were there.
Yeah.
A little fuzzy.
LG was there.
LG was there. Cole was there.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, there's a good group. Lindsay, yeah. Steve.
Smiths.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and I'm
Chris kind of, was also there, the UFC fighter.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right, that's
Chris Baugh, yeah.
Yep.
I just saw a video of him, his kickboxing.
Beating the shit out of that poor son of a bitch.
Fuck! Like, they were not on the same level. No. Like, I feel bad for the guy. He should not be fighting Chris.
No, oh, dude, he got train wrecked.
Oh, he should not be fighting Chris. No. Let's do another athlete shout out to Chris Baugh.
Dude, just destroying.
Kickboxing.
Effortlessly. This guy was walking straight into punches that were just...
Like, this was...
a knockdown.
This is kind of a highlight.
Yeah. In a highlight video.
This was just a highlight video?
Yeah.
And it lasted 2 minutes long.
I need to watch that.
It was insane. Like it was Facebook, awesome. The first clip of is just him dodging and just jabs him to the ground. Like he does a quick left, I think, a quick left jab, and the dude just gets knocked down.
He's so much faster. He's so much stronger.
Dude, yeah.
He was on a different level. Like I felt bad for the guy. Like he should not have been in that ring with him. Like
no.
I don't know if it's because they were like if it's just generalized amateur, but they need to scout these guys a little bit because the guy got killed.
Yeah.
It was insane.
I was doing mitt work with him last week for about 45 minutes.
That
and all fun. I kept thinking in my head was, man, if I was fighting this dude, I would get my ass whooped so bad, so fast. I wouldn't even know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do.
I mean, he was killing it in that video. So shout out, Chris. That's awesome. So, you know, I'm so impressed with our athletes. Our fucking athletes are awesome.
Yeah,
all the time. And I love – and you're one of them. You know, I love all three of us, you know, just being able to participate on the same team as all of our athletes. I love it. And then being able to coach these athletes. Like, it's insane what – the different accomplishments are. So keep it up. I love it. On the opposite side of that, now, so you do your activity, you do your fight, you do your
segue.
Right? You like this the segue? You do your fight, you do your obstacle race, and you're down for the count for a little bit. Well, now we get into couch potato because, you know, you only get into you have a couple days where you're down, you're sore, you know, all you want to do is recover. You're going to eat some good food and you're going to sit and binge so we have some binge watching tips for you. Mine actually is I've been so now my cardio is going up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my I started with documentaries, but I couldn't get into them, right?
Yeah.
So then I started a new series that I've already watched all of, but it's been like 10 years. So I restarted Dexter, which keeps me on the edge of my seat. And I've actually like been looking forward to going in and doing cardio every morning. So like I've been popping out of bed at like 5:30, 6 a.m. and I'm like, I get to go watch Dexter. Let's go. And like it doesn't even faze me that I have to bike for a half hour.
Yep.
Like I'm biking, but I'm actually watching this. And then I'm pissed when I have to turn it off. And there's been a couple times where I've like went past like my 30 minutes. I'm like at 32 minutes, and I'm like, oh, I just want to keep going. But I told myself I only am gonna let myself watch it if I'm doing cardio. And so it kind of helped me out that way. Though. So, but if you haven't seen Dexter at all, it's a, what would you call it? A murder mystery?
I've never seen the show.
You haven't?
Oh, don't know anything about it.
Oh, it's amazing. So it's basically this dude that is a murderer of bad people. Yeah, he's like a serial killer of people that quote unquote like deserve it.
Yeah, in murderers, rapists,
right? Like
people of that sort.
Yeah,
so a good serial killer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as good of a serial killer as you can be.
Oh, they blur the fuck out of that line, though.
Right. Yeah. It gets blurry, but it's super entertaining. So like, but he's also forensics guy.
Well, he's incredible. He's a genius.
Yeah. So he's an incredible blood spatter forensic guy.
Yeah.
And so like, he's on all of these cases of serial killers that are killing like innocent good people. And then, like, he turns it around, and basically, some of those he gets, and then
he'll snag a couple for himself.
He'll snag a couple for himself.
Oh, I couldn't figure it out. And then he'll go kill the person.
Oh shoot! The jail system they got out on a technicality or something. He has actual evidence, forensic evidence that he knows these people did it, and he takes it into his own hands.
Yep.
Which I'm not condoning by any means,
unless you're a super genius,
right? Because
then you'll probably get it right.
Yeah, as long as you're right, I suppose. But Dexter is an awesome one, so Zach, you need to do your homework on that. But you said you had a couch potato too.
So my couch potato is a follow-up from last week, and that would be Narcos. So I finished the first two seasons, and those are strictly about Pablo Escobar, all the background kind of around there. And then after he kind of passes through, the third season goes into a different cartel pretty much in pure disappointment.
Oh yeah,
just that's not even interested. Season, right? Not even interested in watching it. Like, I don't have any desire to even go watch it, and it's really upsetting because the first two seasons were so good, and I was like, I still got a whole nother season left. I'm
just
stoked.
Because it's not about the dude anymore.
I assume so. He was so big.
So he was just the best. He was the character that made it.
Yeah, pretty much. And they started off the show with him.
Yeah.
Skip the third season.
Watch the first two and skip the third.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. Just nowhere near. Yeah. Doesn't even compare to the first two. So I think I'll probably start watching Dexter now.
Right. Yeah, Dexter's the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because I definitely need something.
If you Netflix it up, or like me, steal my brother's password for Netflix.
Boom.
Free Netflix. Costs like $5 a month.
I used my girlfriend's, and I got a text the other night, and it said, "Hey, my brother wants to use Netflix. Can you get off?" And I was like, "Ooh,
that's a thing.
I'll hop off."
You get like,
"Oh,
five."
It says only a certain amount of devices are used
like five,
under this
though.
Account.
Yeah.
You cannot watch at this time. Yeah. And I tried it the other day, and it said that,
like,
and I was like, "Oh."
At the same time, so if there's five people on her account at one time?
So, well, her brother lives in her brother lives in Minnesota. She was probably using it. Her parents might have been watching something upstairs.
It doesn't matter. It's not about who's using it. So, it's the five devices. So somebody
that it can be on.
Her brother off. Somebody signed up on like their phone plus their iPad or something.
Okay.
So now one of those needs to be stolen so that he
can
get on.
Okay. Cool. So there's probably Zach that kicked him off.
Yes.
Dick. Yep. Shit happens. Well, you know, we talked about a little bit here about my Oregon trip, but I wanted to go into a food for thought today would be kind of an experience that I had on, now everybody knows I'm on prep, I'm on poverty macros, you know, if I wasn't an experienced bodybuilder, I probably would be a terrible person to go vacationing with.
Yep.
And, you know, but that doesn't have to be the way. You know, if you are dieting, all this kind of stuff, I really kind of wanted to hone in. And I had a post on this at TR Crave Strong. If you want to follow me, I did a longer post on this. But, you know, one thing that you have to continue, if you have these goals, first I want to kind of say, if you have been dieting for a long time, you don't have an immediate goal, and you're taking vacation, take the damn vacation.
Yes.
Don't, you know, don't worry about dieting. Don't worry about cardio. Don't worry about the gym as much when you're there, right? I mean, if you're there for 5 days and you want to get up, you know, you want to do two gym days, great. But if you don't, if you're not in an immediate pressing goal, please take your vacation and have a good time. Life is more important than, you know, than dieting and gym.
And all you have to do is not eat like an asshole.
Right. Just don't eat like an asshole, which was directly quoted from my...
Yes, it was. Awesome. I was excited to see that.
Awesome. But yeah, if you just don't eat like an asshole, you're good to go. So, but with that being said, if you do have... So this was a vacation that... and I'm going to have two of them. So I had this one, and then I also, before my next show, before my show in September, the weekend of the 16th, I will be in New Orleans. And so the thing that's big there is during a vacation when you do have pressing goals and you can't, you know, get off of your diet. And for me, you know, this isn't going to be I'm not taking this vacation to get away and relax. You know, these are a couple of vacations, some family, you know, we went to see family, which is always important. And we had a lot of relaxing there in Oregon here this past weekend. And then this next one will be for a national conference with Rodan and Fields with Amber. And so like those things are things that like you have to go to. So maybe you're traveling for work. Maybe you're doing this, that. So what I would suggest and what I find really helpful and what I did in this Oregon trip and will do again in this New Orleans trip is try to get your kind of what I call your selfish stuff done previous to everybody else having activities and stuff. So don't, my biggest pet peeve is when people take away from the vacation of others when that just because of a selfish goal, whether that be, you know, I have to be on my diet or I have to be bodybuilder. And this is mostly bodybuilders, but I have to stay 100% to my goals. And what I find is, you know, I didn't have to wake up super early. Everybody's kind of sleeping in. So I woke up, you know, 7:30, went to the gym, got my food prepared the first day that I was there. So I had all my food prepared. You know, I got up 7:30, went to the gym, got my cardio in, and I was back by like, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And that's when everybody else was starting to drink their coffee and get out of their kind of relaxing mode. And now I'm just joining the party, right? So I was able to get all of my goals accomplished and continue to stride and actually hit a new low on my vacation because I just got all my stuff done up front. And then I was able to enjoy the day. I was able to eat meals with everybody. Now, granted, did I eat the same exact food as them? No, I some of the meals I had to change. You know, I did fit, you know, one slice of pizza in, but then I also had to eat some chicken breast with that. You know, and so that as a bodybuilder, that's some of the things that I have to do. But I hate bodybuilders that make hates a strong word.
Yeah,
but I very much dislike it when bodybuilders become so selfish that they ruin other people's time because of a sport they chose or a hobby that they chose to do. You know what I mean? And so having those and trying to not interrupt everybody else's vacation, everybody else's relaxing and everybody else being able to have a good time. Like if I was a dick and I was like, I can't eat pizza. Let's go somewhere else, you know, to where I can get
or
this
or
this.
Or if everybody goes out to dinner and you say,
I'm going to stay somewhere else. Yeah. Like those kind of thing is just, yeah. Big sound effect guy.
So for someone, just say you're not a bodybuilder. Say you're just a normal person counting your macros and you've been doing really well for say 2 months. So you're 8 weeks and you're doing really well. You're not prepping for any show. You're really trying to change your body composition.
Yeah.
What is your advice if for someone going on a trip or work trip or vacation where they know they're like, it's going to be really hard. What can I do? What advice do you have to help me dial in and just be as good as I can while still, you know, going on
just,
that
just hit your macros. I mean, the nice thing about flexible dieting is you can literally get your macros from anywhere. Like if I had to eat out of a gas station, I could hit my macros that day. And so just hit your macros with food. If you're going out, enjoy your company. Even if you're say I'm out of macros and everybody's going out for a beer or something,
drink that beer.
Go out. have a good time. If you are super worried about it and you really want your body composition to be where it's at, then you know, drink Diet Coke and hang out with everybody. If you're just general pop and this is a vacation and you know
that's,
for the
yeah,
next 3 months,
I'm talking to you general
right,
folks.
And then if you want the next 3 months to be on point,
yep,
then drink the beer. Yeah, you know, and don't eat or drink like an asshole and you'll be good.
You can do the vodka Diet Pepsi route.
Right.
In your heart. I mean, you know, you're still getting...
You're getting the alcohol, carbs, but you're getting
a little better than the beer,
though.
Yeah.
A little bit better.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, just, well, you know, just a food for thought. Just a food for thought,
yep.
Guys.
Hey, so, I love it.
Awesome. So, let's say we got a Today I Learned to finish up from Jordan. What did you learn today, Jordan?
I learned today that in 1947, the Superman radio show did a series called Clan of the Fiery Cross, in which they exposed many of the KKK's most guarded secrets. Within 2 weeks of the broadcast, KKK recruitment was down to zero, and by 1948, people were showing up at Klan rallies just to mock them.
That was deep.
Yeah, that's cool, though.
So Superman, hero.
Perspective, this was 1946.
Yeah.
And I may have the numbers a little fudged here, but I clicked on this one and like went in and dug around a little bit.
Yeah.
America at that time had a population of 150 million. And 40 million people listened to the show. Because that's
Damn.
What it was the entertainment of this night.
Sure.
40 million people.
So what was the show again?
Superman. So Superman so it basically was, it fought was Superman, against the Klan.
Right. So yeah. It was Superman. It was an entertainment show
yeah.
that was based on the comic book hero.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so he basically has a different enemy probably every week that you listen to it.
Yep.
And this week it was the KKK and fuck those guys. Yep. Let's get them.
It was
we are actually officially an anti KKK.
We're saying it right here.
We're right now. We are officially
right here, right now.
A anti KKK podcast.
It was something Kennedy. He was attending all the meetings, so he's getting all these secrets, and they didn't know who was releasing all this information to the show.
Because that's awesome.
Like, their password for that week was Anglo, and then their username or whatever the hell it was.
Right. So all of their shit, yeah.
Supreme or something. So Superman would mention those on the show.
That's
awesome.
And then
it's driving their leaders nuts. They're like, how do they keep finding all this stuff out?
That is fucking awesome. Yeah, I love that. Cool. That's like undercover government agency work at its finest.
Oh yeah,
at that stuff I enjoy.
Yes,
I like that. That is an awesome Today I Learned, and that is what we are going to wrap up the show with. Again, thanks so much to Steve for enlightening us all on some more of the firefighter lifestyle and more about his life. Congratulations to him getting married here in a couple months.
That's Woo-hoo! Awesome.
Woohoo! And you know. Thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. We wouldn't be a podcast if you guys weren't listening. So thank you so much for listening. If you can, do us a favor. Rate and review our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And subscribe. If you want to get our podcast each week, that will pop up a notification. And you can get our podcast at every single week notified. And we are at the Gym Closet Podcast on IG. We are the Gym Closet Podcast on Facebook. Visit those two social media sites. Shoot us a line. We have been getting some cool questions, and we will probably have another episode at some point where we are answering those. So keep those coming. We're going to keep those in a file and keep those rocking and rolling. This season, again, we're going to continue to go with our theme of first responders, with our police officers, our EMT, our firefighters, and our military. And so thank you to all of the people that are, you know, helping everybody out on a daily basis. So with that, we are out of here.
Peace out.
Love you guys.